Secret agent man. Secret agent man. Something where he can. There's something. Anyways, guys, welcome to Diana Prince, Secret Agent. See the connection? Secret. Yeah. This is episode number 9. I am one of your hosts, Ed.
I'm the other, Terry.
First of all, there will be spoilers, even though this book is like 130 years old.
1970.
So that's 54 years old? Mm-hmm. Wow. Almost as old as I am. We won't address our co-host either way. But it is almost as old as me. That's interesting. Far and away, even the one of the other shows that we have, Thor, we're not talking anywhere near that old anymore as far as his books. So this is like easily the oldest book that we talk about. And that's why it's so much fun, because 1970 apparently was a pretty wild time. Mm-hmm. We are focusing on Wonder Woman's Maud era. That's where these books sit. If you want to find them, I'll tell you where to find them here in a moment. But first, if you want to find us, we are at Teal Productions on Facebook, Blue Sky, and Twitter. Additionally, Tooth Gnasher, one word, on Twitter as well. That is co-hostessness with the mostesses, Terry. That's her Twitter handle. I am IndieMan at gmail.com is the email address. Indie, I-N-D-I-E. comicbooknoise.com/TNC, rhyming with Tango November Charlie, if you want to find it, or the Newsprint Commando, however you want to do it. Quick thanks to Universal Production Music for that really hip intro-outro music that I found. That's really sweet music. All right, this issue 186, is cover dated January-February 1970. Its actual on-sale date was November 4th, 1969. Now, if you do want to find it, you can see it in Diana Prince Wonder Woman issue number 2 from 2008, DC Comics, or Wonder Woman Diana Prince Celebrating the 60s Omnibus 2018, DC Comics. That is what I have here that I look at, is the Omnibus. Warrior Princess beside me has the privilege of actually looking at the book itself. Now, that was the motivation to do the podcast to begin with, is we've gone through the process of collecting comics, but few of the books that we actually have collected do we talk about. And I thought, these older Wonder Woman, this Maud era was really freaky. A couple summers ago, I sat down and read through them all. And I thought, this section of Wonder Woman would be excellent. Terry collects Wonder Woman. I collect everything else, really. But
we also collect Thor.
Which we also are doing a podcast on. Yes. Yeah. So that was the impetus, really, for the podcast, was we have these books. Let's talk about some of them, and picked out this Maud era. So this cover, first of all, was given to us by Mike Sikowski, Dick Giordano, and Gaspar Saladino. And what do you see on the cover?
I see a very shadowed figure of someone and a bunch of people, girls huddled in the floor, and Diana looking like she's going to beat somebody up, but Ching's holding her back.
So before reading any of the book inside, I recognized Diana and Ching. And that was about it from all the huddled girls. Mm-hmm. I know there's her new clerk.
Kathy.
But I'm not sure which one. Maybe she's this one
she's
in the green. Yeah. So, and then from reading the story, we find out who these other girls are. So,
mm-hmm. Well, we were told that they were coming the last issue.
That's right.
The roommates of Kathy.
She was kind of squirrely about mm-hmm. telling anybody or telling Diana or, mm-hmm. or what have you. Okay. So now inside. That is brought to us also by Mike Sikowski on script and pencils, Dick Giordano on inks, but Gaspar shuffles off, and the letters are now done by Mr. John Costanza. I say that jokingly because Gaspar Saladino has been the letterer for the covers for a while, and I suspect he will continue for a while. I don't know. There's not really any text, so it must be like the narrator stuff, or maybe he designed the Wonder Woman logo or something like that, and so they constantly give him credit. But thanks to my laptop acting weird, thanks to the DCFandom.com wiki, the book is synopsized thusly. And I am too lazy to do a synopsis of an issue, and my synopsis would probably be much longer than these. So this is what we use. Diana introduces Ching to her new friends. The next day, she receives a substantial reward from Mr. Smithson, the victim of Top Hat's jewelry robbery, and uses it to rebuild her boutique in great style. Kathy Perkins has three friends in trouble, though, and brings them to Diana to seek help. One of those friends, a boy named Henry, has been turned into a frog. Henry and the girls explain that he performed a magic spell from an old book and liberated a sorceress named Morgana into their realm. When he sought to send her back, Henry was transformed by her into a frog. Diana, Kathy, Ching, Henry, and the girls locate Morgana in town, causing mostly harmless chaos to amuse herself. Morgana is amused by Diana's challenge and holds her own with the heroine in a hand-to-hand fight. But when the sorceress attempts to use a spell against Diana, Ching, who has studied magic, uses a counterspell to stop her. After another brief brawl in which she defeats Diana, Morgana takes her leave, and Henry is still a frog. Ching tries other spells on him, but none work. Finally, Kathy hits on the idea of having Abby, Henry's girlfriend, administer something. The ploy works, and Henry becomes human again. And we'll get into that in the book, but it's pretty obvious. Pretty girl. The prince is a frog. What does she do to snap him out of it? Which she could have done the whole time, but apparently nobody thought of that. All right, so inside the first art page, there's a narration like catch up for like the first half or so of mm-hmm. the page. Mm-hmm. So we have that. And then at the end of last issue, somebody was at the door that Diana recognized. And now we see
that it's Ching.
Who it is, right? There was nothing that gave it away then. No. Right, okay. Yeah, so yeah, it is, after all, Ching.
And they invite him in, of course, and he's like, she's like, you have nowhere to stay because my whole place burned up. So, but, and the family says, well, you can just stay here with everybody else. We've got plenty of room.
We didn't really realize last issue that it was both floors.
I did, but I didn't realize that Ching was staying there.
I just thought it was just the boutique.
No, I realized it was both floors, but I didn't realize that Ching was staying with Diana.
Okay. So Ching comes back and he's out of place to stay. Mm-hmm. So who is it? Ma Petrucci, mm-hmm. right? Isn't that where they're staying? At the Petrucci's? Mm-hmm. So.
And apparently they work really, really fast because between this page and the next page, the whole thing is just rebuilt.
We do have an intermediate panel mm-hmm. here where mm-hmm. you can see studs and mm-hmm. things like that.
And Diana looking all businesslike in her pinstripe suit.
Yes. And then the next page, a little more than half page panel, is the redone boutique, very 70-ish, I think. Mm-hmm. It is not contemporary now. No. If you went into a boutique. No. So it's, yeah.
A few nights later, they're all sitting to dinner and Kathy is just like muttering and talking nonsense. And finally, someone knocks on the door and she goes to grab it because she knows it's her friends who have come over. And they're asking Diana and Ching for help. Because of Harry the Frog.
And we see him. Harry the Frog. I will say, Mr. Sikowski does a decent job of drawing a frog.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not a bad frog.
And the girls are so upset that they can't even talk. So Henry decides to talk for himself and tells the story of what happened. So it's a talking frog.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
Darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.
Yeah.
Yep. So he tells the story. We see Morgana, and she has a black cat. Yay.
Named Frimost. F-R-I-M-O-S-T. Mm-hmm. Frimost.
And it tells the story of him trying to send her back with the spell, and he turned him into a frog.
She says, poof.
And then she leaves to go find some other things to amuse her because, you know, it's like,
You're boring.
I have no further trouble with you, so I'll go. Bye. And so Diana's going, I hear, but I don't believe. Because this whole story was told to her by a frog.
By a frog, yes. I mean, and it's funny. It's like, well, even as the, you know, superpowered Amazon Wonder Woman, I'm not sure this kind of situation really had mm-hmm. come up to her then either, so.
So Ching, though, he knows of Morgana, and he tells Diana she's reputed to be the daughter of Morgan Le Fay, a witch so powerful that not even King Arthur and Merlin together could best her. But Morgan Le Fay was scared of her daughter, Morgana. So that tells you just how powerful she can be if her own mother, who is the most powerful witch, is scared of her. She said, well, we gotta go find her. because we have to put a stop to what she'll do, because she can just totally annihilate Earth if she wants to.
This vehicle that Henry builds is kind of weird.
Yes, it is. It's very weird. And that's why it looks like a lawnmower with two troughs for back seats.
Bathtubs. Looks like two bathtubs sitting side by side.
And then two parasols for the roof of the behind that are attached to the back of the tubs.
Almost like he took a dune buggy frame, took a dune buggy and stripped it down to the frame, and then put back, you know, the two-stroke motor up front and the two bathtubs and the two parasols. And it's really, I guess that's hip, is what?
I guess.
I don't know. But they're tooling around and they hear some noise, and then they run into
Morgana the Witch, who has a fan club now.
And her fan club is just doing really whatever they want there in the middle of the street. I mean,
they are.
Not like of a sexual nature, but I just mean they've like looted stores.
Thrown sofas out into the road, and they're sitting in them and they're playing music and just having fun.
And not throwing sofas the way WVU students are famed for throwing sofas. Not like that. So
Diana says, okay, fine, I'll put a stop to her. And Ching's like, wait, I can. And she's like, no, I'm going to go beat her up.
This is the start.
The cat turns into a bird.
A hawk.
And tears at Diane's clothes. And then a mouse. Right. And then a fly. And then it turns back into the cat and goes back to Morgana.
To avoid Diane. Morgana sicks the cat on Diana, and it turns into these animals before finally turning back into a cat and running back to Morgana.
And then Morgana and the cat disappear.
Right.
And Diana is very perplexed and very angry. And Shane's like, will you please listen to me?
That's a very funny look on her face right there.
I'm not sure what they were going for. She's like, no, it must be, I hear music. I hear something. Can you hear that? Listen. So let's run. It must be Morgana again. And they're like, okay. And they run and they get to around the corner. And it's like, what's going on? What are they fighting about? And it's bunch of men who are fighting over Moose Mama.
I was going to say, is that Moose Mama?
Who has been bedecked out into some jewelry and clothing.
It is Moose Mama. Uh-huh. All right.
And Morgana did it. And Moose Mama's very happy. She's like, I've never had men fight over me before.
From last issue.
Yep. So then she sees at a bank and people are running out and throwing money everywhere. And she's like, oh no, Morgana is going to ruin the whole city. We've got to get her. I can see what you mean by her being mood swingy and playful. But she reminds me of the old children's drama. There was a little girl who had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good. But when she was bad, she was horrid. And I've heard that before.
I've never heard
You've never heard that before? No.
But the panels are just of...
chaos.
Like jokey, like Morgana is just causing trouble, but nothing necessarily bad. You see somebody at the bank or the people from the bank are taking money from inside the bank and just throwing it out on the streets. Mm-hmm. A barber where this little rhyme is in that panel is being chased by all of his barbering instruments.
Next you see a bunch of hippies and cops all together, arm in arm, singing
together. Yeah, singing probably together. Kumbaya. Probably. Right. Animals from a pet store are leaving the pet store.
No, they're stuffed animals from a toy store. She's turning them into real animals.
I'm sorry. Okay, yeah.
Into live animals and letting them free.
So just impish kind of stuff that Morgana is doing.
So Diana's like, I'm going to catch her. I'm going to fight her. And Ching's like, will you please listen to me? I don't have time. I've got to go catch her and I've got to fight her.
Hang on.
And Morgana's like, the foolish girl thinks she can take me on. We'll just have to teach her a little lesson. And she puts out her hand and she makes everybody else stand still. She's like, hold, you cannot move.
She freezes them.
Now, Frimfrost, let me have at her. And she goes to Diana and they have a fight. And they are fighting back and forth. And at the very end, Morgana poofs off again. Well, she disappears.
Diana does manage to get her down.
Yes.
In a wrestling hold. You know, the one where they turn upside down and they hook their legs behind the neck of the upright person and they're going to flip them? Mm-hmm. Well, she just takes Morgana down to the ground rather than flipping her into a somersault, whatever that... And we see that every week, and I should remember what that's called, but I forget... We don't have Excalibur here to tell us, so I forget what it's called.
So poof, she's gone again, and Diana's like, I could just scream. And Chang's like, please, Diana, let me, I don't have time. Listen, listen, listen. I hear something else. I got to go. So she runs off and she sees that there are cars crashing into each other like a demolition derby. And Morgana's sitting up on something. I really can't tell what it is. Just laughing her head off while there's still a band with her. Apparently she likes music. She's got her own little band that follows her around. And so she's running and she's trying to catch up with her. And she grabs her by the back of Morgana by the back of the head and slams her down onto the ground. And Morgana gets up and says, "You are just too much. Now you shall feel the power of my wrath." And in a very shaded all green little panel, we see Morgana lift her hands to start her spell over Diana. Well, this is when Ching says, "Okay, no, I'm not even going to talk to Diana anymore." He's like, "No, I command you to stop. By the powers of," and then he starts rattling off a spell.
All kinds of, names.
And Morgana is made to stand still. She goes, "I hear and I obey, mighty warlock, whatever you say." And Diana's like, "Now it's my turn." And she reaches up and she throws her and flips her over and throws her onto the ground. Morgana reaches up and kicks her in the face.
Which I guess that must have woke Morgana up because she was subdued.
Well, Ching also didn't tell her not to fight Diana. Ching just told her to stop what he was doing right then.
Yeah,
but then Diana instigated a fight and Ching didn't tell her to stop again. So they're fighting again. And at the very end, Ching just says, "No, stop. Leave it alone." And Morgana's like, "Okay, warlock, I've had enough. I'll leave for now. I never did have you under my spell, did I?" And Ching's like, "No, but Diana wanted to handle you her own way, so I allowed it." So she disappeared again.
Right, she just disappeared.
So it's the end of Morgana. Morgana's not having fun.
But what about Henry?
Oh, we're getting to that. So the girls are like, "But what about Henry? You forgot about Henry. Come back, come back, come back." So Ching tries to do all kinds of spells, and nothing brings her back. And that is when Kathy says, you got to do it like the old fairy tale. You got to kiss him and turn him back into your prince. And she does. And he comes back.
And he turned back. And at the very end, though, we have somebody watching who's all in shadows from outside watching in as much as they can see. Which I guess, in this one panel, Diana goes to the window and looks out. So whoever this is knows which room she's in.
Because Diana's like, "I can't believe that red-haired witch, she beat me. Oh!" And Ching's like, "You can't win them all." And then the person outside, which is Morgana, I think. So that is the Diana Prince that won over us. Next time I'll see that she doesn't ever again. So that's Morgana. She's coming back.
Is it? Or is it Top Hat?
No, it's Morgana. She's coming back.
Then we have a full page of a teaser, actually, for the next episode.
Why do Diana Prince and I Ching go to Hong Kong? What is the significance of the dead tattoo, of the strange tattoo on the dead man's hand? Who is the mysterious Lushan? What or who is the Earthquaker? You'll find the exciting answers in the next Wonder Woman issue called Earthquaker.
And we have the next episode, it looks like, going by the way that they are laid out in the omnibus, we have our first non-Wonder Woman issue.
Okay.
So, now this, I'll look and see if we can find this. I suspect it'll be kind of expensive. So, we may just have to rely on the omnibus. And in the omnibus, there are no ads.
Okay.
So, if I can't find a copy of the book, we won't be able to talk about ads. Which, having said that,
let's go to the ads in the book that we do have.
And I will say, I know that last episode, I said that there would be Brave and the Bold episode a Brave and the Bold issue this episode. Well, as you just heard, there wasn't. Perhaps we will be able to fit that in next time before we talk about the Lois Lane issue, or maybe not, because I believe in the omnibus, after the Lois Lane issue, is a Brave and the Bold issue. So it may be that we do two back-to-back that are non-actual Wonder Woman issues, but involve this version of Diana Prince.
Cool.
Basically, to find out what in the heck we're going to do, just listen to the show.
Yep. So in the first ad we have as the inside page, and it's for belly laughs or blazing action, you can go to Binky, Sergeant Rock, the Unexpected, or Flash.
Yes, and
they're all on sale December 4th.
I was going to say, I assume these are all the same month, so we've got Binky 71, we've got Our Army at War 215, Unexpected 117, and Flash, I don't know. I'd have to look up the cover somewhere. I don't see the number. But whatever the Flash was that came out,
in December.
Cover dated December 1969.
Mm-hmm. Our next ad is a half-page sand crab ad. Monogram models. The new monogram Wild and Sandsational Dune Buster designed by Tom Daniel. It's a model that you can make. It costs $2 or less.
Vaguely reminiscent of Henry's car that he built.
Mm-hmm.
Vaguely.
And the other half of that page is our 110 foreign stamps, only 10 cents.
That is a steal.
That's a steal.
From such countries as Antarctica, which I didn't know they issued their own stamps.
Me neither.
But, okay. Grenada, the Pitcairn Isles, India, Bhutan, and many, many more, which I don't even think Bhutan exists anymore. What is Bhutan? Bhutan is called something else. Laos nowadays.
Okay.
It goes by a different name.
Then our next ad is a third page Revell about its Moonlighter. Build it yourself Revell's model of the month for November, the Saturn V Apollo. And you can get that for under $12 wherever models are sold.
Under 12? That's expensive.
Uh-huh.
Goodness. Although, dude's
sitting here.
It's
pretty big because he's sitting there and it's taller than he is.
Yeah, he's sitting here. He's probably
seven-year-old dude sitting there
three
on his
foot,
butt.
And 3 foot tall and yeah. It's another 2 feet maybe. So mm-hmm. it's a 5 or 6 foot model. It
yeah,
looks like.
It's huge. Then our next half-page ad is the Calling the Members of the Mighty Eye Patrol about the Iverson bicycle. We have one of those every book.
Yes, so far. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just about the bike itself. Probably the coolest aspect about that is that they have a almost like a blow-up of the bike with the different parts labeled. And, mm-hmm. and you know the specialty names for these different parts rather than like a banana seat, which is what I've always known it to be. This is a double contoured seat. I guess double for riding somebody else, mm-hmm. I guess. So
the next full page ad is for some DC books. We have the Daring and Different DC Special, The Wild Frontier, featuring Davy Crockett, Daniel Boone, Buffalo Bill, Kit Carson, Tomahawk, Powwow Smith. And then the Secret Files are open to the most unusual Batman stories ever, and it's a giant-sized Batman.
Which I guess this is just Batman issue 218, and they just made it giant size because I can't imagine giant size books went that far. 218, that's a lot of books. So it must just be a giant sized issue of the Batman title itself.
And then we have the letters page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Kraft, I don't know him. Audrey Valente, I don't know her, him, them. Tony Quintana, I don't know. Ellie Resta, Hattie Lattimore. So I don't know any of these people, or if they go on to be somebody famous in comic books, I don't recognize any names.
Okay. And in this book also, the middle, the center page where the staples are, is a two-page spread ad. Here are 7 new ways to be at all your buddies with Hot Wheel race sets. We have the Supercharger Grand Prix race set, the Supercharger Rally and Freeway set, the Supercharger race set, the Supercharger sprint set, the Double Dare race action set, the Hot Curves race action set, and the Stunt action set from Hot Wheels.
And I guess each one is a different one. It's not
yes.
one that can make
no.
all of those.
It's a different set that you buy.
Yeah. So, and and for those of you that haven't seen the Hot Wheels tracks, they're basically a vinyl length that's curved up on either side, just the same width as a Hot Wheel car, so that the car sits down into it a little bit. I mean, it's not like a big shape, but just big enough to hold it in there. And they are whatever length or curve or loops or whatever it's built into. But to me, the cool thing was the track is just designed to hold the car in it, not impede it in any way, so that it's free moving. And it'll direct it. If it curves, it just curves and the car will stay in the track. And it's a pretty cool design because it's just enough to keep the car where it's supposed to be, but not so much extravagant that it holds up the car from really being able to run through the track. I had several over the years, and I always enjoyed them because of how how efficient, how effective they were in doing what they were supposed to do. I like that about them.
Then our next full page is actually two half pages, I'm sorry. What kind of taiko action do you prefer? And it shows a locomotive and a car. And you can slip this, whichever one you decide, under your dad's pillow. But he'll probably buy you both at the toy store. And if your dealer can't supply you, then you can get a catalog for a quarter.
They're both remote controlled to some extent, it looks like.
Yes. And then To Do or Die, Batman and Robin and Green Lantern on sale in November.
Green Lantern 74 and Batman, or actually I think it's Detective Comics. It says up here at the top. Maybe, I don't know, maybe in the 390s, something like that. But again, it's whatever issue of Detective Comics was on sale November 26th, 1969.
And we go several pages before we come to another page of ads.
That's because we had two full page ads in the very center that were the racetracks and stuff. So
this is another half and half. It's How to Do Strongman Tricks Without Strength. Free 30-day trial proved to you, only $1 post-paid. And then our 126 World War II fighting GIs and commandos and full battle equipment, all yours for the amazing price of $1.24.
Yeah, the little hard plastic green
tanks
soldiers.
And figure soldiers. Yeah. And then our next is a third page, new Matchbox models of the month. The number 11 scaffolding truck and the number 56 BMC 1800 Pininfarina.
Pininfarina.
All festival racers to heavy duty trucks. Max Batchbox does it all.
I like how they number them. So that tells you these are from a set and there are more than just what they're showing you to get you to start looking up others that are part of the set. That's a cool idea.
Then we have Showcase Presents Johnny Quest. What is Jason's Quest? I'm sorry. What is Jason's Quest? And it's
about Jason's Quest in Showcase 88, it says. So
it's about a boy, a bike, and his guitar.
Yeah, whatever the story was from Showcase 88. And it's really weird because the top, I don't know, 25% of the ad is regular lettering left to right. And then on the left-hand side, the lettering is top to bottom, running from the bottom to the top of the
landscape.
Page. Yeah, landscape. On the right-hand side, it goes from the top to the bottom.
Landscape.
And then there's a section on the bottom that is completely upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So you read, I guess you would start down here at the bottom, I guess, and read.
No, I think you would go this way.
Okay, so you would start at the top
start
and
the
read
top.
From left to right,
uh-huh.
And then read down from yeah. top to bottom
and then read
on the right.
The bottom and then read.
Right to left on the bottom, and then bottom to top on the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. In the middle of all that is just an image of a shadowed figure. Yeah, presumably. On a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. So
mm-hmm. With his bike and his guitar.
I don't see a guitar, but he's sitting
on the
bike.
He could have it slung on his back.
But yeah, interesting mm-hmm. way to do that. I haven't seen anything like this so far in any of the other ads in Wonder Woman.
And then the inside of the back page is another group of books that you can get for December. We have Superman Wants to Die in the Action Comics. We have Batman Hates His Friend in the Batman and Wildcat. Superman's Girlfriend Lois Lane and Supergirl starring in Adventure Comics.
So these are Action Comics 385, Brave and the Bold, looks like maybe 88, 86, maybe 88. Superman's Girlfriend Lois Lane 99 and Adventure Comics 389. Let me look at something here real quick. This 93, Superman's Girlfriend Lois Lane 93 is the next book probably that we'll be talking about mm-hmm. as far as this. So this is 6 months after mm-hmm. the book where, so this book is like the Lois Lane we're reading now came out 6 months before this Wonder Woman that we're reading now. That's kind of weird. Yeah,
it's weird. And then the back page is our Aurora full color page about Flashback, the high-speed nonstop racing set with cars that glow in the dark. So cool.
And this, it's not strictly remote controlled, but it looks like they have air cylinders that they squeeze, and the air is what forces the cars down the track as far as how they are propelled It appears. It appears. Now, I could be wrong. I've never had that particular contraption, so I don't know.
And you made a comment last time when there was the football clinic kind of thing going on in the ads.
Pump, pass, and kick.
Mm-hmm. That you were like, boys read Wonder Woman? Most of the ads in the Wonder Woman are boy-centric
boys, yeah.
For the 1970s.
Yeah.
In the 1970s, there were girls that played with Hot Wheels. Sure. There were girls that did models. But the bulk of it is really, I think, driven toward boys. Yeah.
I wouldn't think that at that time there were very many younger girls that were into those things. Mm-hmm. Now, there are going to be exceptions, of mm-hmm. course. Just like my thought that, well, yeah, there are exceptions as far as boys reading Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't really think that it was a whole lot. But yeah, like you say, but all the ads are geared that way. And it's like, well, yeah, I don't know. They had to put the ad somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman was a book. Mm-hmm. They put them in there.
Yep.
I don't know that that is any reflection on the readership. Maybe it is no reflection on the readership. We don't know. I'd have to see, you know, studies about comic book readers in the 70s to even know. I have no idea. Exceptions aside, you know, I don't know. So, yeah, that's interesting. I even having said that at the time, it didn't dawn on me that it's like, well, all the other ads are kind of boy geared predominantly. You know, there's nothing about. Now, having said that, I do remember that in other female oriented, little girl oriented books that I have read through, Marvel, Millie the Model and Millie and those things like that, they did have instances of paper dolls in those in lieu of ads. Cut out the doll, you cut out clothes, and you could clothe the paper dolls. In the 70s, 60s and 70s, that is the kind of thing that I would think you would put in because your readership is female or to attract females. Whether that's fair or not, whatever, that's a whole nother discussion. But at that time, those kind of things I could see. It's like, oh, well, it's a quote-unquote girls book, so they put in quote-unquote girl activities.
I doubt if too many boys bought Millie the Model.
I don't know. Much like Wonder Woman.
Well, Wonder Woman, until we got to the mod period, was a superhero with superpowers and sticking around with like Batman and Superman and all of them. Just when we've got to this mod period that she is more girly.
More current female.
Yes.
Current as of the time that it's being written. Current female. So, yeah. Yeah. I don't... The psychiatry of comic books, or mm-hmm. not even comic books, the psychiatry of the people creating the books, because there are many times that I read a book and I wonder, where are you, mm-hmm. Mr. Writer? What mm-hmm. what do you think? You know, this is not how, again, Marvel, mm-hmm. Stan Lee, this is not how people talk.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, you know, what are you doing? This is, but that's what they thought, and that's what comes through on the books. So, episode 10, about the only thing I can really say about episode 10 is that is when the entries to the contest from last episode, go back and listen to the end of last episode, are due by.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly we're talking about, I don't know anymore. It's not that I've lost track, but it's just a matter of what will we be able to do to put together to be able to do the show the same way we have been. It will either be... Wonder Woman 187, or it will be Lois Lane, what I say, 93?
Mm-hmm.
Just depending. So either way, we will talk next
about
month
something.
About more mod era Diana Prince.
Yes.
And that's the only definite. And I am definite that Terry and I will both be on there.
Yes.
So other than that, listen in and find out as we do it. We'll talk to you guys next month.
Bye.